that our youth are sending a team on mission. So our youth this week, there's going to be a team of 10, and they are going away to Port Moody, to go on a mission trip. So we're going to hear a bit about them, and today we really want to send them and bless them as they go. So Nick's going to share a little bit about the team and what they're going to be doing.
Hi, guys. So my name's Nick. I'm one of the counselors on this trip alongside Pastor Pam. And here, let's just give an introduction to all our team members' names so you know who you're praying for.
I'm Joanna.
Jaden.
I'm Musin.
I'm Asher.
I'm Royan.
I'm Thomas.
I'm Zach.
And yeah, so we're headed over to Port Moody to work with refugees from Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan with a group called the House of Omid. If you want to know specifically what we're doing, we're going to help them set up a lot of their food bank things. We're going to help them purchase supplies, and we're going to help them run their ministry for a couple days. We're also going to have dinner with several of the families that will be hosting us. And so they're going to feed us, and we're going to have hopefully some spiritual conversations with them. And hopefully we get to hear some of their stories, and maybe they'll get to hear some of ours. So, we would just ask that you guys please pray for three things for us. Number one, our safety on the trip, going there and back, especially because we have a 5 a.m. flight, or we have to get to the airport at 5 a.m. on Wednesday, the 21st. So if you're awake at that time, definitely please be praying that we all make it to the airport on time and awake. Please also pray that we would have meaningful experiences while serving the refugees. And lastly, pray that we have valuable spiritual conversations with them at their houses, in their homes, and at dinner. Yeah, thanks, guys.
That's great. So, really, yeah. That's awesome. So, really, what we want to do today is, of course, lift them up in prayer, and I invite you to continue praying this week for this team. But today, we really want to send this team. Could I invite you today, could I get you to stand if you are able, and stretch out a hand towards this team? Well, God, we lift this team up to you. God, you have ordained this, and we have great expectations. Not what this team is going to do, but God, what you are going to do in and through this team. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you. Would you fill each of these members, and would you lead them and guide them, their conversations and their time, help them to grow, and would you work in powerful ways through them, God? So right now, we send you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can feel free to have a seat and continue to pray for this team this week. Thanks, guys. We're also excited today. It's an eventful day. It's a lot of fun. We're also inviting some people who are becoming members of our church. So Pastor Arthur's going to come up, and he's going to kind of explain what that means and just pray over these people who are becoming members in our congregation.
To become a member of the church is to declare publicly that this person is part of this local body of Christ. And this person who declares to be a member of this church also means that they're responsible to make decisions, to be part of this, the life of this church, to help make decisions in order to walk in obedience to God's will. And so it is with great pleasure and to welcome these brothers and sisters in our midst to be members of ECAC. So I'm going to ask them to come forward on stage as I announce their names. Jeff Poon. Jeff, welcome. Jeff, come on up to the stage. Mavis E. There you go. Jared Farth. Come on up on stage. Siobhan He. And Ivan He. Let's pray for them. God, as these brothers and sisters make a public declaration to be members of ECAC, Lord, I want to pray a blessing over them. I want to pray that, Lord, they would really engage in the life of this church. Not just coming to ask what they can do, what this church can do for them, but instead saying how we can serve this body, how we can be part of the life of this body. What have you called us to do as a church? And let them do it faithfully, boldly, courageously. And so, Lord, I also want to pray for our church to welcome these brothers and sisters in our midst, that they are part of Christ's family. They are part of Christ's body. And so, Lord, together, we want to walk in step of obedience to your will for this church. And so I pray a blessing over them in the name of Jesus. All of God's people say, amen. Thank you and welcome.
We want to continue to explore what God is doing in our midst. So I encourage you to check your bulletin out. There's always more information in the bulletin, but just a few things. Make sure you're checking our offering and prayerfully considering that. We have a shortfall in our mission fund, so make sure you check that out. Also, if you sign up for our fire warden training, that's going to be on Saturday, August 31st. So make sure you got an email about that or heard about that if you signed up. We also, maybe you noticed, our library looks a little bit different. We kind of filtered through that a little bit, which means there's a bunch of free books over in the hallway. So I encourage you after, don't go right now, but after the service, go get free books. Don't bring them back, please. Keep the books. They're all yours. So go check that out, and you can grab those. We also have one more announcement. Alex, if you could put the picture up on the screen. So Mana Counseling and Education Center is kind of starting this program where if you are interested in deepening your walk with Jesus and growing in that, you can join with their spiritual guides, which includes our very own David Yip. So you can talk to him about this. It's going to be Friday evenings from September 6th to October 25th. And you can scan that QR code if you're interested to sign up. There is limited registration. So if you're interested, sign up as soon as you can. Really just if you want to deepen your walk with Jesus and do that in a community. So there's no fee to this, but it's really a time that you can grow in your faith. So if that interests you, you can scan that, you can sign up, or you can, I'm sure, talk to David Yip, and he'll give you more information, maybe even convince you to join. So feel free to talk to him as well. So let's just come into a time of prayer and just center our hearts on God. Pray for our offering. There's different ways we can give online. There's a box in the back or to the office. And let's just pray for our offering and just center our hearts on God before the message. So God, right now, we look to you. We pray right now that you would soften our hearts and maybe speak to us. We pray that our offering would just be a pure gift to you, God. We invite you into this space and just pray right now as we continue to practice even hearing your voice that you would speak, Jesus. That all other distractions would just fall silent and that we would know you more in a personal way. So we thank you, God, and we praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Could I just give my slides up, Alex? Thank you. You got to turn it on. Here we go. And the Lord God said. So God said to Noah. The Lord had said to Abram. The Lord was standing there beside him, saying, in Exodus chapter 3, God has a whole conversation with Moses, and later it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then the Lord called Samuel, but that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Then the Lord said to Elijah, the word of the Lord came to me. And the Spirit said to Philip, falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, later saying, I am Jesus. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Church, we worship a God that speaks. These are some of like many, many, many examples. I could have found so many more examples of God speaking to his people. Do you see that? It's so common in Scripture that God speaks. And maybe you're here, you're like, okay, those are cool verses, but does he speak to me? You know, he speaks to Moses. He speaks to Elijah. Does God speak to me? The author Dallas Willard, he has a book about hearing God, and he says and explains that instances like these in Scripture where God speaks to someone are not meant to be exceptional at all. These aren't meant to be these like profound moments, but he says rather they are examples of the normal human life God intended for us. So when we're reading the Bible and we see, wow, God spoke to someone, that's not this profound big moment, but Dallas Willard is arguing that that is part of the normal human life that God intends for us, for his people. And this is what we've been talking about hearing God. And maybe you struggle with that. Maybe you've been practicing these last 2 weeks and you're like, I don't get it. I'm not getting anything. Something I find helpful before I go into a time of listening is simply remembering if I can't hear God, often it's because I don't think I can hear God. And something that I often start off a time of listening with is just saying, I renounce the lie that I can't hear God's voice. And I accept and acknowledge the truth that even Jesus says that we can hear and know his voice. And I find that that is such a helpful way to start off a time of listening prayer, to acknowledge that it is true that we can know and hear the voice of God, that it's not this rare exception, but throughout our days, God speaks to us. So let me read our passage here today in John chapter 10. Verses 2 to 5 here, it says this, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers, the word of the Lord. So obviously Jesus here, he is teaching, and who's the sheep? That's us, followers of Jesus, right? We're the sheep. Who's the shepherd? It's Jesus. So we're the sheep, and he is the shepherd. And catch what's happening here. It says the sheep will hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice, and it even says the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Think about that. What if we were a people, a community that could say we know the voice of Jesus? We know his voice. A distinct characteristic of disciples of Jesus is that we recognize his voice. It's so important for us. And I think that last verse up there is really interesting as well. And it's going to be helpful for what we're talking about today. It says this, they will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. You see, disciples of Jesus, we can discern and we can distinguish God's voice from all the other voices. We can actually recognize his voice to the point that when we hear anything else, we know it's not God and we don't follow it. We can know the voice of God. So I'm going to say this up here. I think this is so important that a distinct characteristic of disciples of Jesus is that we recognize his voice and can distinguish it from other voices. So this is what we're going to be talking about here today. So for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about discernment and listening to God's voice. And we think this is practical for us as disciples. I think that's what John here is saying, that this is important for disciples to know and to learn. And we also are teaching this, and again, hopefully these sermons are more applicable even than normal, because we want to teach this, because we as a congregation want to be a listening one. We want to be a congregation that hears God's voice and follows him. And that's really all that we do, is because we heard God tell us to do it. And we don't believe that just the pastors or just the elders should be doing that, but we as a congregation want to be hearing his voice. So that's leading us up to September 8th. We're going to have a time to do that, where we actually, as a congregation, are listening and are writing down, what are we hearing? Where is God leading us as a congregation? And together, we can discern this. So we've been talking about this idea of discernment, and the question we're asking today is, how do we know we are hearing God's voice? If a distinct characteristic of a disciple of Jesus is that we can recognize his voice, that we can even tell his voice apart from other voices, how do we do that? Like, how do I know that I'm hearing God's voice? Maybe even as we've been practicing, you got this thought or this impression or a picture, something like that, but you're like, was that actually God? Maybe you have doubts. How do we know we're hearing God? Church, I think it can be easy to miss or to even misidentify God's voice. There's this really interesting story at the end of the Gospel of Luke, and I love this story. We call it the Road to Emmaus. And what's happening is there's two disciples. Last thing they saw was Jesus was killed. Jesus was dead. They saw him on a cross. And they were so disappointed, obviously, because they were following Jesus. They couldn't believe he died. So what are they doing? They're walking home. They can't believe it. They're like, Jesus died. So they're walking home, and they're so disappointed. Of course, we know the story. Jesus, he raises from the dead, right? Jesus is alive. And as they're walking home, Jesus, the risen Jesus, starts walking next to them. And it's this crazy story, because it seems like for several hours, Jesus is talking with them. They're having a conversation. Jesus is even teaching them. He's giving them like this in-depth Bible study. And the crazy thing about this story is that the two disciples don't recognize that it's Jesus who is speaking. Isn't that crazy? The two disciples, Jesus is talking to them for hours, and they don't realize who it is that's speaking to them. God's voice can be easy for us to miss, or to misidentify even. So if we're going to be listening to God, how do we actually know that it's him? If I get this impression or this thought, maybe I just hear this faint whisper, how do I know it's God? Like, is it just in my own head? Is it the enemy, the deceiver? Is it just distractions around me? Or is it really God? I think it might be naive for us to think, if we've never tried this before, we could just immediately recognize God's voice. I think it takes time and maybe practice. I think that we can learn God's voice. It's not like he shouts at us from the sky. You know, that would be convenient, but that's not what God does. He doesn't scream, but he's intimate. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Brandon talked about 1 Kings 19. It's another amazing story where God is with Elijah, and he says, Elijah, go stand on the edge of this mountain. And Elijah does that, and all these crazy things start happening. So there's like this great fire, but it says God is not in the fire. There's this earthquake, but God is not in the earthquake. There's a strong, powerful wind that can tear mountains apart, but God is not in the wind. And then what happens? Elijah is standing there, and he just feels this soft, quiet presence. It's hard to even translate. It's almost like this gentle, quiet whisper. And Elijah knows that that's where God is. Often when we're listening to God, his native language is a whisper. He doesn't scream at us. He's intimate. He wants to be close with us. And we have to tune into that and spend time with him, learning to distinguish his voice. And as I think about that it can be easy to miss God's voice, where my mind goes is, well, what if God is speaking a lot more than we realize? What if God is speaking to us all throughout our days, but we're just not catching it? It can be so easy to miss. Maybe we're only looking for it in dramatic moments, in the fire or the earthquake, in great spiritual moments where we feel spiritually high. But what if God is speaking to us quietly throughout our everyday lives? We need to learn to be attuned to his voice as he speaks to us, even in the soft impressions of our hearts throughout our days. So when we do hear something, how do we know it's him? How do we know? How can we actually be sure that God is speaking? What if it's just like the enemy or my own thoughts or just distractions around me? How can we learn the voice of God? That's what we're going to be talking about and hopefully practicing today. So the first thing, I think that hearing God's voice is about relationship. It's about relationship, really about proximity. So if I take off my mic, walk to one of these back rooms, you're not going to be able to hear me, right? Thanks for not cheering for that. You're not going to be able to hear me. Hearing God is a matter of proximity. Am I close to God? If I'm really far from God, I'm not going to be able to hear his voice. We learn his voice, I think, by practicing, by pursuing him, by spending time in his word and in his presence. We recognize his voice not because it's easy and simple for us, but because we seek him out and because his spirit allows us to hear his voice. This is something we have to practice. It's about relationship. But with this, I do want to encourage you that all followers of Jesus, as we read in John 10, are able to hear his voice. That the Holy Spirit allows that, and I think we get better at distinguishing it over time. So what we're going to look at right now is, what is God's voice like? If we want to learn to recognize his voice, what is it like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? The author Dallas Willard, who I talked about earlier in his book about hearing God, he kind of gives 3 points for this. And we're going to go through these 3 points. What is God's voice like? So these are some things to look out for as we're listening, and you can take note of these. I find that they can be helpful. So what is God's voice like? And the first thing that we can look at is the quality. There's a certain quality to the voice of God. God's voice, and again, it's often this thought or an impression, maybe you get a word or a picture, has an impact. The quality of God's voice is it actually makes an impression in us. It's not like it's argumentative, but it actually speaks with an authority. This is the first thing about the voice of God. It's not shallow. It's not speaking to our ego. It's not leading us astray, but he speaks with a certain authority and an impression. And that doesn't mean it's going to like blow you away right off the bat, but it does mean that there's something deeper to this voice that makes an impression within us. The second thing that Dallas Willard talks about is the character. What is the character of this voice? What is this voice like? The voice of God is peaceful. It's confident. It's joyful. It's good. And it's loving. God's voice, it's not shameful. It doesn't condemn us. Sometimes it will convict us, but it's not shaming or condemning us. The character of God's voice is sweet and it's calm. That's so important. As we're listening, is this voice sweet? Is it calm? It's never going to be panicking or angry. This is the character of the voice of God. And the third thing that Dallas Willard tells us is content. Content. So once we've done this, we can actually ask, well, what did I feel like God is saying? And ask that. Is this something God would say? Because if it's something unbiblical or unloving, it's not God's voice. But we can test it. We could say, is this biblical? Is this loving? Is this within the character of God? And if it is, then it just might be God speaking to us. It has to be something that God would say. So I think these are three helpful points that you can take note of that help us. What is God's voice like, and how can we discern if it truly is the voice of God? And again, I encourage us, as we get to know God better and practice this more and more, we become a people that can truly recognize this voice. Apart from our own voice or any other voices around us, his voice is distinguishable. Ruth Haley Barton, she has a beautiful quote, I think. She says, "The habit of discernment is a quality of attentiveness to God so intimate that over time we develop an intuitive sense of God's heart and purpose in any given moment. We become familiar with God's voice, the tone, the quality, and content, just as we become familiar with the voice of someone we know well." We can become familiar with God's voice. So today we want to practice this. And before we practice, I want to give us a few more tips. If we are going to be a people that recognize, and I love how John 10 says it, and know the voice of Jesus, how can we do that? What are some things we can do so that we can be a congregation and a group of disciples that actually know the voice of Jesus? So these are kind of four tips that I came up with. I'm sure there's a lot more, but these are some helpful ones that I found helpful in my own listening prayer life. So there's four points here, four T's to make it easy for you. How are we going to be a people that know the voice of God? And I think the first helpful point is simply time. Spend a lot of time listening to God. Just practice, right? Practice. For those of you who are married, how do you know the voice of your spouse if you could recognize it among a crowd? Or I think this one's hilarious for parents. Parents can always recognize which of their kids is crying, right? When they hear a cry, I think that's so funny. It sounds the same to me. How do you recognize which one of your kids is crying just from hearing it? Or even your best friend, how can you recognize their voice? It's because you spend time with these people. You spend time with your spouse, and that's how you recognize their voice. You spend time with your screaming kids, and that's how you recognize their cries, right? It takes time. If we spend time with God in his word and in his presence, we get to know his voice. The second thing that I think is helpful for us is to test. 1 John 4, verse 1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, to see if they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So again, this in a lot of ways, the content. Is this something God would say? Is this biblical? Is this the character of God? Is this a sweet, calm voice? If we are going to become a people that know the voice of God, we have to test it and become familiar with that, and it becomes easier and easier. The third thing I have for us here is together. It's so helpful to learn to do this when you're not doing it alone. When you're doing this alone, it can be confusing and overwhelming. When we listen to God together as a community, it can really, really help. It can help us to be more sure of what God is saying. For example, a few months ago, you guys remember, all the pastors, we went away for a weekend. It was probably like the most fun weekend ever here, right? And we went away just to listen to God. And we just asked, "God, what do you have for us?" We had no agenda, just asked. And we listened, wrote it all down, made a document. This is what God, we feel like God is saying to us. So we made that document. The elders, they weren't allowed to read that document, but they went away after us, did the same thing. Just listened. "God, what are you saying to us? Where are you leading us?" They made their document. And it's amazing, and this happens like every time we compare those two documents, they are remarkably similar. When we listen in community, it becomes more clear and we can be more easily affirmed that we're hearing what God is saying. When we listen in community, it's easier to be affirmed. Maybe you have doubts and then you hear the person next to you heard the same thing. It can be really affirming for us. We can start to see the themes of where God is leading us even. So when we do it in community, we can help one another out. And we can listen together, and it can kind of help weed out what is God saying to us as a community. So that's the third thing. And with that, I think a helpful note as we listen in community is that what we say isn't always perfect. So if you're here, you're listening to God, you're in that quiet space, and you hear something, I encourage you, don't just say, God said this, because we're not always right. We can be confident, but I encourage you to be a little tentative. Usually if I feel like God is saying something, I would word it like this. I would say something like, I think Jesus might be saying this. And we can kind of hold it tentatively so that we're not overconfident in what we're hearing. But then when we do that together as a community, we can really start to see the threads of where God is leading us. So the final thing I have here is trust. Out of these four things. So often, when someone is first trying this out, they have so much doubt. That's what I've noticed, is that you'll hear something, maybe you'll get a thought or a feeling, an impression, and you're like, well, I heard this, but you know what, I think it was just me. And I'll affirm, and I'll be like, no, actually, I think that's God's voice. And again, it's often, no, it couldn't be. I think it's just my own thought. Don't do that. I encourage you to trust. If you hear something like weird pops into your head, or you get this picture, this word, this impression, trust. Actually hold on to that. Trust that no matter how confusing it might be at first, trust that that could be God speaking to you. Don't immediately just throw it away saying, oh, I'm sure that was just my own thought, but trust. Don't have doubt. Trust that it could be God speaking to you. So again, we want to actually practice this. We want to become a people that don't just learn about being with God, but actually practice this. So what we're going to do to practice today is this prayer that's found in church history, and I have found it extremely helpful in seasons of my own life when I do it every day, and it's called a prayer of examine. A prayer of examine. And if I were to summarize what is a prayer of examine, I would say the point of it is to recognize God in our own lives. To recognize God in our own lives. So I think it's such a helpful practice for us. So I'm going to explain it to you. So first thing, you review your day. So maybe that's this morning. Maybe you literally woke up and drove here. If that's the case, you can think about yesterday. What you're going to do is just review your day in your head. Just sit in that space with God and just think, what did I do this morning? What did I do yesterday? And as you're doing that, ask, God, where did I feel closest to you? God, where did I feel furthest from you? And just think through your day or your morning and just reflect. And as you're doing that, ask God, God, what are you trying to teach me or show me? As I present this day even to you, God, what are you trying to tell me? Is there something about my day that's just standing out a little bit extra? God, are you trying to tell me something? Is there something you wanted me to do? Is there something you didn't want me to do? Is there something that's just standing out as you reflect on your day? And just listen. God, is there something you're trying to tell us? And I think this is a helpful exercise because we start to recognize God throughout our everyday lives, and we also listen. God, is there anything you're trying to say to me about my everyday lives? So I'm going to encourage you to practice this even now as we come to the communion table. So we've been doing communion for this third week in a row. We're going to keep going. Really, our hope with this is that as we come to communion, we are centering on Jesus. We are literally coming and encountering Jesus at this table. You remember that story I told you in Luke 24 where they didn't recognize it was Jesus? They recognize him at the very end of that story only after he breaks bread with them and they're reminded of the Lord's Supper. And that's really my prayer with this. As we come to communion, that our eyes would be opened to the presence of Jesus. So Phoebe and Doris, I'll invite you both up. And I'll jump down here. So I encourage you to do this practice as we partake in communion today. So maybe before you start coming up, you can even just start thinking about your day. As you're coming up and receiving, you can invite Jesus in to that process. And you can partake right here. You can maybe you want to reflect on the cross or sit down and take it. And as you partake, just do this practice. God, is there something you're trying to teach me or show me? So whenever you're ready, I'm going to invite you up. And I'm just going to say a word of prayer. And then I'm going to invite you to the front. And you can get in one of these three lines and do this practice as we partake in communion. Once we're finished, I'll give you a couple more minutes to just continue on with this prayer of examine. Then we'll have a bit more reflection at the end. So let's say a word of prayer. So God, right now we look to you. The one who most beautifully offers himself to us. We thank you that you are not far away, but you are so close. Would you speak to us now? Would all other voices fall silent? And we invite your calm and sweet voice, Jesus. So we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I invite you to come up and partake when you're ready.
Thank you.
So like I said, just in this space with Jesus, I'll just give you a couple more minutes just with this. Just asking Jesus, is there anything else you want to say to me about my day? Is there anywhere you're leading me or guiding me? And then in just a couple minutes, I'll come back up and introduce some discussion questions. We thank you that you are a God that speaks. We pray that throughout our week that you would continue to speak to us and that you would continue to develop us into a people that know your voice. In your precious name, amen. So I encourage you, this practice, maybe it's hard to do it in this space, but this can be a daily practice for us, a daily practice of recognizing where is God in my life. So this is kind of a simplified version of the prayer of examine, but they're easy to find. So I encourage you, continue to try this out. So we're going to go into a time, just kind of a debrief. So I encourage you, you can find a few people around you, just a group, and if you're comfortable with that, and just discuss what this was like. So I have two questions for us here today. That didn't work. Alex, could you get the next slide, please? And with these discussion questions, these are kind of, if they're helpful, use them. If not, just kind of discuss. What was this like for you? And what would it look like for you to continue developing in knowing God's voice? So if you're comfortable, I'll just let you go into a few different groups just for a couple minutes, and we'll have a closing song after that.
I can't remember across my nose.
How was that for you? Is that kind of like new? Who listens to the No way. That's so funny. I had no idea. That's funny. No, I'm the same. Like, some seasons I'm really good at, like, consistently, and some it's like, drop the ball.
Hello. I hope everyone's having great discussions with the body of Christ. I know our group, we had really stimulating discussions, debates about, you know, have we ever truly heard the voice of God, and is he in every, you know, decision we make? You know, Stephen brought up if I should wear blue socks or green socks today, you know, is God in that? But we kind of were discussing how, similar to what Pastor Tim was saying, that a lot of it is that invitation, or being intentional about inviting God to tailor our posture and how we approach these decisions, and how does God work in that? He may not specifically pick a color of sock for you, but I think that he does speak in ways that give us peace or convict us a certain way. So we're just going to respond with still. I love what Tim, Pastor Tim was sharing about, you know, in 1 Kings, that sometimes we wait for the dramatic, but God really is in there in all the little moments and the ways that people around you are speaking to you, or he whispers something to you. And so let's be attentive to that this week.
Well, as you go today, know that I am cheering you on and praying for you as we continue to be a people that know God's voice. As a benediction today, I want to pray over you from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen and amen. Well, it was such a pleasure to worship with you all here this morning. We'll see you next week.